and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from both the local church and the workplace. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
An incredible podcast we have before you listeners today. And as we are into a new year in 2015, this may be part of your New Year's resolution to go back and listen to Brad Lumenick again and again and again, especially on this topic, because he's going to talk about why he departed from a key leadership position, why he handed it off. And I just talked to so many of you listeners out there and so many of you readers of the blog who say, I really want to have something that makes a difference in my life, I want to do something that makes a difference in my life. And not many people ever get around to it, Jonathan. So I will just say welcome to you, Brad. Thanks for taking the time. I have followed your leadership for a long time.
Thank you.
And it's kind of cool to have you in this marvelous high-tech room right now.
I love being here. And for you, Tom, and your team, vice versa. You know, you've been one of those pioneers and leadership gurus for many, many years. That doesn't mean you're old.
I am an old fella. I really am. I'm 59 years old.
Those of us who are younger than you really respect you and the way you've led out and given a lot of us permission to do some things. So thanks for your leadership.
Oh, thank you. This is going to be so cool about not about him saying great.
Yeah.
Are you laughing because I'm saying so great?
I listen to the podcast, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm a fan. I'm a follower.
And half,
a friend.
Half our audience.
I'm a 3F.
Right.
Had you ever met Jonathan in person before this?
No, we've never met. No.
What did the voice seem like as far as the person looked like?
Well, he's got a face for radio.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes. And he has not as much hair as the old guy does.
Well, he and I both come from the same school of hair,
yes.
Which is none.
Yes.
So Jonathan, introduce the topic and we'll let Brad take it away.
Well, for those of you who do not know Brad Lumenick, he's an Oklahoma native and former director of Catalyst, a movement of young leaders focused on equipping, inspiring, and releasing the next generation of young Christian leaders through events, resources, consulting, content, and connecting a community of like-minded catalysts all over the world. He's also the author of The Catalyst Leader, which released last April, and he will be releasing a follow-up book in September of this year entitled H3 Leadership.
Hey, before you ask questions, tell us about H3 Leadership.
What's the theme?
Yeah, the three H's are humble, hungry, and hustle. So we're going to dive into those three in depth. Those three words would, if I had to sum up my leadership mantra, it would be summed up with those three words. So it's kind of a follow-up to The Catalyst Leader in terms of really practical.
All right, will you come back and let us talk about
Absolutely.
That book?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'd
great.
Love to.
That'll be great. It's releasing September. Mm-hmm. So sometime toward Jonathan, toward the end of early fall, September. Let's see if we can get on his calendar and get him back on here.
So about a year ago, you walked away from leadership at Catalyst. Not totally walked away, but you moved to an advisor role, you were telling us. What was that decision like? I mean, because Catalyst, you were Catalyst. I mean, to a lot of people, you are the face of Catalyst. And, you know, what was that decision like for you?
It was hard. There was a moment I remember having a lunch with a friend of mine, a mentor, who actually is from London, and he was in town, and he looked at me and he said, I can tell that you're done.
Wow.
And it was one of those points in everyone's journey, especially for me, that I didn't want to give in. You know, I was the boxer that was still fighting in the 12th round, but I'm just flailing and I'm just throwing punches and not hitting anything. And he said, you know, you need to take a break. So I took a 4-month sabbatical, and part of that was to decide whether it was time for me to step out of the role of leading Catalyst. But really, before I even took the sabbatical, I knew that season was over. And it was hard. You know, so many of us, when we build something and we're part of something, the identity of who we are is connected intrinsically to what we do. And so stripping that away was really difficult in terms of my own identity, because I was the Catalyst guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, a big part of that was, what happens if I'm not the Catalyst guy? Does anybody want to still talk to me? Does anybody want to still hang out with me? Do people still, you know, call me on the phone? And that was a really big struggle.
Well, what we will do, Jonathan, is I really want to cover as many of these 10 points as we can. Brad is the consummate leader, and he has provided leadership lessons for so many people for so many years. And now we have the opportunity to hear from him about leadership making a decision to step out into an area where he did not know what that stepping out meant. That's kind of called faith. So let's look at these 10, Jonathan, and just ask him to comment on them.
Yeah, back in November of 2014, you wrote a post at your blog, 10 key leadership lessons that you've learned over the last year in handing off Catalyst. And a lot of these we can cover in more depth, but the first one, I got my smile back.
Yeah. I think for a lot of leaders, we get in the middle of something and we continue to push and push and push, and we're grinding it out and we're hustling and we're trying to, you know, make things happen. And especially for me as a type A leader, I know neither one of you are that way.
So I'm very laid back.
Yeah, you are. You're laid back. You know, you're passive. But for type A leaders, we tend to lose ourselves in the pursuit of the purpose, and we forget about the passion that really we started with. And that was the case for me. I you know, the people around me didn't like being around me anymore, and I was supposed to be this great leader that was leading this leadership movement, and I was just not a lot of fun to be around. And I had started out early in my career and even early in Catalyst, and there was a sense of me that was the fun guy. You know, I was the guy that was willing to have a party, and I was, you know, I was willing to sort of step out and always make things about being a place of celebration, and that had really gone away. So part of the stepping away was that, you know what, like, I got the smile back. I got the sense of passion back in me that was from the joy deep inside of me.
Yeah. And we should note that Catalyst, whenever you walked away 15 months ago, 16 months ago, it was doing really well. I mean, it wasn't like it was going down.
And getting
out, as, you know, the ship's sinking. I mean, it was still rocking and rolling, still is.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important lesson for leaders is you know, Barry Sanders left before he needed to.
Right.
He stepped out of the NFL when he was on top, and I think for me, part of the struggle was you're going to leave something at the height of its momentum.
Yeah.
And I actually believe that's, as a leader who is going to leave something behind and leave legacy, that's the best time to leave. That's the best time to step out, is when there is a lot of momentum versus when you're on the downside and everybody needs you to leave. Yeah. Everybody wants you to leave. Nobody will ask you to leave. But when you leave, everybody goes, whew, I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah. The Brett Favre syndrome. Kind of
absolutely.
Way too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two, you kind of already alluded to this, but what I do is not who I am.
The identity issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, it was returning back to this idea of I'm a follower of Jesus. You know, when somebody asked me now, and that was always true as a believer and somebody who wants to live out a walk with Christ, but it really became evident even more in the last year of that being my core and my foundation, and not the Catalyst guy, not the leadership guy, just that my identity was all stripped away from what I was doing. And it's really easy for us, again, as leaders, to get those two wrapped so intrinsically together that we lose a sense of who we are.
That's good. That is really good.
Number three, getting out of the way is part of our responsibility as a leader.
Yeah, this one caused some controversy. you know, I think among not only older leaders or wise leaders, leaders who've been around a while, but also a lot of younger leaders, this idea that I believe it's part of our stewardship to get out of the way and let younger leaders or those underneath us, behind us, next to us, be able to step into roles that maybe they're not even ready for. And, you know, we have to be a generational transfer type of organization. Mm-hmm. And Catalyst has to be that more than anything else. When I started at Catalyst, I was 29, and we were all working for John Maxwell, and Maxwell had kind of handed this thing off to us and said, you guys run with it. And at 29, I said, if I'm 40 and I'm still around, somebody kick me out of the way. And I got to 40, and I was at the height of, I think, the pinnacle of my own leadership journey, and we're having a lot of momentum, and Catalyst is doing more events, and all these things are going great. And I remember that conversation in my head of going, all right, Brad, are you going to live out what you actually said?
Wow.
Are you going to do what you said you would do when you were the young guy?
And, what's your birth year?
72.
You are a young guy.
Oh, I'm getting older as the years go on. 42 now.
Wow, that is so incredibly old. I just don't know what to say.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it time and time again where people get into power, well, not power, they get into leadership, maybe power in some instances, but get into leadership at a relatively, you know, 30, 35 years old and hold on to it for 30, 35 years.
Yeah.
And by that time, they haven't raised up anyone to follow, and there's this dearth of leadership underneath them. So whenever they leave, the entire organization is just looking at itself going, all right, what now?
Yeah, I'll throw in a comment because my generation is the worst. Mm. The boomer generation is the worst generation in handing off. We hang on. We tend to get so wrapped up in that's who we are that by the time we leave, the organization or whatever we're leading is beginning to decline. Mm. And people are saying, oh, I'm glad she left.
Yeah.
That's my generation.
Well, and this is true at every level in every organization. It's not just true when you're the CEO or you're the director, you're the president, you're the senior pastor, you're the the ministry leader. This is true at every stage of every part of every organization. You know, you have to hand off well, and you have to get out of the way quicker than you really think you should, especially with the generation behind us that says, I want in now. I'm not willing to wait.
That's right. And, these millennials want to get in at the moment.
And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. I do know that it's reality. And so there's a lot of the people that have been on the Catalyst team for several years that were sitting around thinking, you know what? I can do your job, Brad. And that's not an arrogant statement. That's a statement for their generation that is pretty typical that says, I love you and you've led us well, but move. Let me in. Let me sit in the driver's seat and let me drive the bus for a while. And so for me, I haven't gotten off the bus.
Yeah.
I just went to the back. I just went to the back, and you know the kids that always sit in the back of the bus that always roll down the windows and would scream out the window and the bus driver would get upset at? That's me now. I get to be that guy in the back of the bus.
He has taken the Jim Collins metaphor of the bus and the right seat on the bus to another level.
That's
now
right.
There's the back of the bus where Brad Lominick is.
Yeah, and I'm sticking gum under the seats and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
The fourth point you brought out is that calling is demonstrated and reflected by seasons and specific assignments within that season.
Yeah, this is a much longer conversation than we have time for, but people get confused about calling and that calling is a job. And calling is not a job. Calling is a purpose, and it's what we do. It's how we live out who we are. But assignments are what a job is. And I think there's seasons of assignment for all of us. And what's interesting is the next generation, those who are millennials and even younger, they're going to have 10 to 12, maybe even up to 15 assignments mm-hmm. throughout their calling career.
Yeah, right. One calling, multiple assignments.
Yeah. And so I think for me, this has been true. I've had three seasons so far of assignment. It all reflects my calling, which is mm-hmm. to influence influencers. But all three of those seasons were assignments. They were jobs. They were vocations. But when I lose that season, it doesn't mean I'm losing my calling. It just means that I'm moving on to the next chapter. And I think that's really important, especially for me, again, as a leader. If I got wrapped up in, wow, like all of a sudden my calling's gone, that would be really detrimental. But no, it's just another assignment. That chapter has come to a close, and it's time for a new chapter.
That's great.
So don't wrap your calling up with your assignment.
Yeah. So many of us, we get so consumed by the job. We get so consumed by what role I'm in, and the role should reflect your calling, not the role should be actually what you say your calling is.
When we go to number five on margin matters, and Jonathan, if you still want to have something on number four, we can bring me back to that. But when we go to number five on margin matters, I am hearing more and more about margin. It was called work-life balance, and it's been called different things. I'm good at it sometimes. I'm bad at it sometimes. But tell us how that was affecting you at Catalyst and what you're doing now to make this margin thing work. And define it for us.
Well, I was schizophrenic when it came to margin.
I was, and so was I.
Yeah, and type A's were like this. You know, we again the passion for the sense of purpose and what we feel like God's called us to really does drive us, and that's a good thing. But if we don't make time for rhythm, I think rhythm is a good way to look at margin. And there's certain seasons of life when you're going to be way more intense, and there's certain seasons when you're going to need more time of rest and space. But I was not in a great rhythm. Mm-hmm. And the people around me who were closest to me were the ones suffering the most. The people who were far from me, they still looked at me and thought, oh, Brad, he's awesome. He's amazing. He's such a great leader. He, you know, he's always following up, and he's a good friend. But the people close to me were going, you're not a good friend. You're a jerk. Mm-hmm. You're not fun to be around anymore. You're, you know, the those they were the ones that were suffering the most. And for my own spiritual life, I was getting wrapped up in that my walk with Christ was about putting on conferences. And woo, that one's tough for so many pastors, right?
Yeah.
That we get consumed by the work we're doing, and that starts to become our quiet time. That starts to become our walk with Jesus, is that we're sharing a sermon, you know, we're doing ministry, and we can never get those two confused. And I had gotten to the point where those, again, were wrapped up so tightly with each other that I had lost a sense of what it looked like to really rest. And Sabbath, especially among younger leaders, Sabbath is actually, as you said, Tom, it's Sabbath's in vogue today.
Yeah.
You know, space, margin, rest, Sabbath are all, I think we're returning back to some good things. And that can't look like, well, we're just going to Sabbath because we want to be lazy. You work hard, therefore you can rest hard. Hmm. And, you know, work well, rest well, go really well together.
Jonathan, we had said that we wanted to have Brad back in the future. I don't now. He's really bothering me with some of these.
Dominic on leadership from now on.
Yeah, I tell you what, some of this is getting a bit personal here. But
have you found that to be difficult?
Yes, I have, but I'm learning.
Yeah.
At this old age, I am learning that if I don't get into a rhythm that includes some kind of rest, some kind of change, and so I have the best executive assistant in God's creation. Mm. And I've said, help me get into that rhythm. And so now part of my rhythm is what I call a strategic day, where I just take and do something differently. I don't stop working, but then there's rest as well. So it's learning. I have a long way to go, but I'm learning.
Intentionality really is such a huge part of that.
It is, and I'm fortunate to have someone to help me with that intentionality. So, yeah, but I've got a long way to go, and maybe I'll get it done before I have my final rest.
You mentioned the people closest to you. That's kind of the next point, is that they were not fully flourishing.
Yeah. I think the sign of a good leader is that others around you are truly doing well. And again, for me, I was at a place where those around me were suffering the most. And it wasn't tangible. It wasn't if you walked into our culture and our office and that you would immediately sort of notice it. But it was this slow decay. And there was less times of me encouraging and more times of me being intense. Mm. And there was less times of us being able to just do things together as a team because we like each other. And there was more times of us doing things because we had to get something done. And that sort of less and more just kept happening over and over and over. And there was still a lot of respect for me from the team for my ability to get things done. And I think that's another one of those warning signs,
right?
Is you'll hear a lot of this. A lot of times you'll hear when somebody talks about their leader, they'll say, well, he or she is they're suffering because they're trying to make things happen. And that's a really big warning sign.
Wow.
For organizations. If you hear that a lot, well, you know, they're intense because they're just moving things across the finish line. Sometimes that's true, but sometimes it's just an excuse for us to again make people suffer around us, and that's just not a good excuse, and it's not good leadership.
I am blessed that the number two man in my organization, Brad Wagner, a few years ago confronted me on my jerkness. Mm. And said, you're no fun to be around anymore. People don't like being around you. And it was a wake-up call for me. And fortunately, at that time, I didn't walk away from the job, at least fortunately for me. But, you know, there are not a lot of organizations where subordinates in a sense of organizational structure have the courage to come up and say, hey, jerk, it ain't working.
Yeah, and here's the good news. You received that, and you actually probably said thank you.
I did.
And so many times.
And then I went to my corner and wept.
So many times as intense leaders, or leaders who are action-oriented and get things done, the people around us think, well, I can't tell him or her that, because
right,
they'll bite my head off.
Right.
But in fact, you're going, please speak into me. I need somebody to be a mirror, because so many times the mirror that I'm looking at is a false sense of reality. And I want people around me who will stand up and go, hey, listen, what you just said really hurt me, and I need you to be way more of a encouragement to me than a discouragement. You know, those are the kind of things that leaders will actually, if they're a good leader, they'll hear and they'll take some action around and get better.
And I'll get over this one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
The seventh point is pruning is not fun, but it's required.
Yeah. I mean, this one is straight from the Gospels. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so much wisdom in the idea of being pruned, but pruning is really painful. Again, this whole process for me the last year has been, it hadn't been fun. There's been some moments where I wanted to kick and scream and fight back because I felt like things were being stripped away from me that were really important and that actually had become good fruit. Mm. But, you know, part of the pruning process is that a lot of things are removed in order to be more focused and more disciplined on the things that really only I can do and the things that I'm going to be able to create the most fruit from. So for example, you know, the idea of being in a place at Catalyst where I was, you know, in charge. Because I feel like I'm a leader.
Yeah.
I feel like I should be in charge. I feel I should be the one making decisions. I feel like all those things line up. But the pruning part of that was, no, it's time to hand that off. But it's also, there's something else for you. You don't know what it is yet. And part of the pruning is that you just got to be faithful and wait. Mm. Because that fruit's going to start to bloom again. And I can't see it. I don't know what it is. And that's difficult.
Wow. You're in that transition stage even as we speak.
Yeah. I'm a year removed from it and still in the stage of waiting on the sort of the next assignment. Yeah.
Wow. That's good stuff.
Point eight is stale leadership.
My leadership was stale. You know, it's like opening that bag of chips that had a little opening in it that you didn't realize. And you crunch into those and you go, this is just not very good. And that was, for me, it wasn't that they were rotten. You know, it's like fruit that's okay, but it's not rotten yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And my leadership wasn't rotten. My ability to lead and influence was not at that place where people would walk in and go, oh, man, that really stinks. But it was just stale. It was average. It was actually below average. And I've been called to something greater than that. Mm-hmm. That is no excuse for me to sit back and sort of coast into the place of whatever the finish line is. And stale leadership, a lot of organizations have stale leaders because they've settled. They've just moved into that place where they feel like they won't get fired, but they also don't have to really work that hard.
And hanging in there.
Yeah, we got a lot of leaders who are stale, and they just exist, and I don't think that's good enough.
There are a lot of reasons behind that. We probably can't go into that into this podcast, but you are exactly right. Use the fruit metaphor. Take it to the ninth point. Good fruit is required.
Yeah, well, and this one goes back to not only for me as the leader that I have to be producing good fruit, but those around me have to be producing good fruit. And I've heard somebody say this, it's not my quote, but a great sign of leadership is that your fruit many times will grow on other people's trees.
Wow, I like that.
That was another sign for me that, hold on a second, I got to stop and look around me and all the team members that I have and people that are closest to me, are they producing fruit? Are they in a place? Am I putting them in a place where they can actually produce good fruit? And that's a big one for leaders. You know, you may be the man or the woman. Mm-hmm. You may be just going crazy, and you've got books that are selling, and you've got podcasts, and you've got lots of speaking opportunities, and everybody wants to have your time and attention. But what about the people around you? Like, are they flourishing? And that's equally as important, if not more, than your own sense of fruit.
This all comes down, Jonathan, I think this 10th point is the apex, the culmination, whatever metaphor we want to use. Faithfulness and stewardship is the measure of ultimate success. Boy, I can say that 1,000 times, but I've got I want to look at my blog stats. I want to look at the sales of my books. I want to look at all these other metrics. And now you're telling me that the measure is not that easy to just get these objective numbers. It's faithfulness and stewardship.
Yeah, this is,
again, I'll never have you back, Brian.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. It's convicting. It really is. I mean, the 1 and a 2 is as equal as the 10 and a 20. The kingdom scorecard, right? The kingdom scorecard is faithfulness. And what have we done with what we've been given? And I look back on 10 plus years of stewarding Catalyst, and I feel good about the faithfulness that I had in that season. And that's really the point of number 10 in this blog post, was that I can find joy in that. I can look back and go, man, I stewarded what I was given for over a decade with the best possible sense of stewardship I could muster up. And now it's time for somebody else to take that and run with it and be faithful with what they've been given. And it's time for me to take on another assignment and be faithful with this next one. And it may be that I am so under the radar the next 10 or 15 years. It may be that I'm influencing 5 people instead of 5,000 or 10 people instead of 10 million. And I got to be okay with that. I think so many times as leaders, we think the next assignment yeah. will be bigger and more sexy and have more sizzle than the previous one. And it may be that it's not. It may be that I'm in a local community and I'm really impacting just a few people. But that's okay. Like, steward what you've been given.
Jonathan, this guy's blowing me away. You need to wrap this thing up.
Well, this week's podcast has been brought to you by Pastors Today, this website and weekly newsletter provides pastors with resources and information from around the internet, written specifically for pastors. For more information and to subscribe, visit lifeway.com/pastors today. That'll do it for this week's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts?
Well, there's so many things that I could say, Jonathan and Brad, about this particular podcast. Number one, I have to say it's among my favorite. I mean, we've done a lot of them. And I usually don't go back and listen to me, even when I interview someone, but this is one that I'm going to listen to and be recommending to a lot of people. Brad, I told you at the onset before we were recording that the audience is pastors, lead pastors, church staff persons, church lay leaders. Say a word to them regarding this whole thing about your handing off and how it could connect with them in some way, because I have no doubt that there are thousands of people who are listening to this and they're saying, wow, what does this mean for me?
Yeah, well, the big one is don't get your identity wrapped up in what you do. You know, make sure you maintain that sense of perspective of identity that is who I am. And along with that, we didn't talk about authenticity, but man, authenticity is so important today. And don't try to be the next. You know, be who God has called you to be now. And so many of us, we spend all of our time and energy trying to be someone else. You know, don't worry about the pastor down the street, the pastor across the country, the pastor that you're listening to, their sermons, and you think, if I could only preach that good.
Wow.
Be who God's called you to be. And that's who he really will release the best, if you'll allow him to, is the person that you truly are.
Well, Brad, thank you so much for being here. We're going to count on seeing you later fall of this year as we talk about your book, H3 Leadership. And yeah. I want to get that book out in a lot of places as well. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.